Well, hello. I'd like to just take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Pastor Johnny Kajir, and I have had the privilege of spending almost 20 years as a youth pastor. I spent 12 years as the youth pastor here at Faith Church before just recently transitioning into a role of pastor of community ministries for our Faith East campus. And so I want to talk to you through a pretty common thing that I would experience as a youth pastor. Quite often I would get a phone call from a parent that would be something along the lines of this: Pastor, could you please help my teen? He's just angry all of the time. And quite often they were right. Their teenager was angry. And quite often I would need to counsel that teenager on how to handle anger. But my response to the parent would be more along the lines of, I would be happy to meet with you and help you to navigate the best way to help your teenager. I want to just give you a few bonus things to consider when you're asked to counsel teens by their parents. First of all, does the teen actually want to be counseled? Quite often, I have noticed in counseling teenagers that the request comes from the parent, and if the parent is the one making the request and not the teenager, then one of the things I need to assess right away is this teenager actually interested in biblical counseling? Or is this simply a parent's way of trying to get us to tell their kid what to do so the parent can have the desired outcome within the house? And many times, the parents' desires are right. They have a good intention behind the reason why they want their teen to have counseling. But the reality is that if the teen is not interested in biblical counseling, then you're going to find it difficult and frustrating in the counseling process when that teen does not want to fully engage with the things that you are talking about. So what will the counseling of this teen then need to look like? Let's say that the teenager has decided they do actually want biblical counseling. So what does it need to look like when I go to that counseling situation? Let me just say this straight up front so it's crystal clear for every single person that is listening to this. Never counsel a teenager alone, one-on-one. You are just setting yourself up for all kinds of potential problems that could come from an accusation or could come from a misinterpretation of things that you are saying. I would encourage you to have somebody present in the room while you are counseling. The best person to have in the room would be one of the parents. So if one of the parents is available and is able to be a part of it, and that will not cause the teenager to struggle with that counseling situation, having the parents in the room, then I would encourage you to have the parents in the room with you from the beginning. The parents really need to be a part of this. Unless for some reason the parent is the instigator of the teen's struggles, then you really need to be working with the parent and the teen to try to help them to work together to know how to do things in a way that will please God within their house. Another thing that you need to think about as you go into counseling a teenager is this: how can I avoid taking the parenting position in this situation? In other words, I found in my years of counseling teenagers and in my years of youth ministry that there tends to be a temptation within the heart of parents to allow someone else to parent their teenager for them. And so the way that they would set that up is they would experience the situations that are happening at home, and then they would take them to the youth pastor to fix all of the problems. And what is happening in that situation? Well, they are trying to remove themselves from the position of parenting through difficult situations and instead giving it to the youth pastor or to the biblical counselor in this situation. So how do I avoid becoming the parent in this situation? I need to be looking to help the parent to fulfill their responsibility and their obligation as a parent to raise their teenager to walk in the ways of the Lord, to learn from the things of God, and to grow. Now, there's another thing that I always think about when it comes to counseling teenagers is, does there actually need to be two different counseling sessions going on? one for the teenager to help them learn how to deal with the situations that are coming at them that are causing them, in this particular case, to be angry. So helping them learn how to deal with that. And then the second one with the parents, helping the parents to learn how to navigate through helping their teenager. So I'm working with this teen, and I'm working with their parents to hopefully all reach the same final conclusion to where they can work together to handle these situations. And then I also want to think through this. How can I most effectively encourage the parents to take on the responsibility to parent their teen? I need to get them in that counseling situation so I can help them recognize the fact that even though it's difficult, even though this teenager is hard to deal with in the moment in time, it does not give them the right to abandon their responsibility to parent their teenager. They need to parent their teenager, and I need to help them understand how to do that. Let me give you a few introductory thoughts about our particular topic today, which is helping parents care for angry teens within the house. Let's just think of a few introductory thoughts here. First of all, anger is found in every single one of us. Have you ever considered the fact that your teenager is angry because, well, you're angry and your parents were angry, and as the result of sin, we tend to struggle with anger. Anger is a thing that is a very common problem for us to struggle with. And so we need to think about that from that perspective. Your kid is not the only person in this conversation who struggles with anger. Anger stands out when it wears its colorful and dramatic costumes. It's violent or relentlessly embittered, ice cold or flailing in misery and confusion. But the difference in the angers described above and the anger that you or I experience is a difference of a degree, not of kind. We're all more alike than different. So I can get irritated when someone is guilty of disturbing the peace of my personal comfort and convenience. I can get irritated at incompetent customer service reps. I can get irritated when someone doesn't take the time to understand me accurately or caricatures what I believe and do and disses me on the basis of what they have imagined. That's from David Pollison's book, Good and Angry. Have you ever considered the fact that we get irritated over things that are the result of our struggle with anger, and sometimes people have more outward explosions when we simmer on the inside? See, we all struggle with anger in different ways. If you don't believe me, just get in your car and drive through Indiana. You will eventually discover that you might have a struggle with anger. So remember that just because your kid is angry doesn't mean your kid is somehow different than what you are. We all struggle with anger. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed this, kids are really good at calling out the hypocrisy. So when you tell them to not be angry, but then you're angry, they might call that out. And another thing to consider, kids are really good at imitation. I struggle with getting frustrated sometimes. And when I get frustrated, I tend to growl or make a grunt or some sort of noise. And I have discovered that it's very likely that when my kids get frustrated, they'll do the same things. Anger is a problem that all of us have. It's not just your teenager who is struggling with anger. Secondly, we need to remember that sometimes anger is justifiable. Sometimes anger is justifiable. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 21 through 22 says this, "They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest parts of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains." See, in this particular passage, God is being angry over the fact that the children of Israel have decided to worship idols. And as a result of that anger, there are consequences that are going to come to them. And it tells us there's a fire kindled in his anger, right? Like, he is angry. There are sometimes anger that comes as a justifiable means. We need to think through it in this way. Anger is a God-given emotion for the purpose of alerting us to a deeper problem. Why do we get angry? Well, hopefully we get angry because of the fact that there is a problem that has been presented that needs to be dealt with. The issue does not necessarily lie in the alerting through anger that there is a problem. The issue